Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we are again in John 15, verses 23 and 24, because there's a comment that Jesus makes at the end of verse 24 that gives us material for more preaching on the subject of joy. John chapter 16, verses 23 and 24, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive," watch it, "that your joy may be full." You know, and at times in our Christian life, we experience full joy in our salvation. And today what we want to do is talk about some of those times so we'll understand what it is that brings that full joy. Now, on a recent Wednesday night, I preached on the subject of abundant joy, and said that we get abundant joy by being saved, by being filled with the Spirit, by being united with believers, by being assured of our salvation, and by loving and obeying the Lord. Well, full joy, with this topic that we're talking about today, comes from some events or some things in our lives that we'd like to talk about today. You see, the abundant joy is just a matter of being saved, being filled with the Spirit, being united with believers, being assured of our salvation and so forth, being obedient to the Lord. But watch these things. First of all, full joy comes from answered prayer. He says, "Ask and you shall receive." All right, when you receive the answer, that's the answer to prayer. Then there is fullness of joy. He says that your joy may be full. So there is full joy in answered prayer, particularly when you have prayed long and hard for God to answer. Then there's a tremendous amount of joy. And really, the more for which you pray, the more for which you can rejoice, because God answers prayer. In other words, if you're only praying about one thing and God eventually answers it, you'll have a full joy in the answer, but then there's nothing in reserve. You're going to start over on another prayer request, and there are people that pray that way. They pray for one or two things. When you pray about a lot of things, you have a lot of reason to rejoice, because God does answer prayer, and you're going to see Him answer prayer on a regular basis over a lot of things. Now, you say, "Well, I know, but I don't have time to be praying for a lot of things." And I beg to differ with you. I believe you do have time to pray about a lot of different things. Listen, in your Bible, you see that Daniel prayed three times a day. He'd have to go back to his house, raise his window. There was even a decree not to pray to his Lord, and he did it in spite of that decree. And that's how he ended up in the lion's den. That's how God was glorified and his enemies were destroyed. But he opened that window three times a day facing Jerusalem based upon what he remembered from Solomon's prayer of dedication at the temple. He faced that temple and he prayed. And you know what? He did that three times a day. And he was way up in the government. He was over the presidents of the presidents. I mean, he was really up there. But he had time every day to pray three times in the day. So did David. David said, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud." Now, David the king, you know what all he had to contend with. And yet he found time every day to pray three times in a day. Now listen, if they could pray three times a day with their busy schedules, no doubt you and I can find ample time to pray. Now, there are, so many answered prayers. But I'll give you an illustration that reminds me. There was a young lady, and she was praying for her father. Every Thursday, she would fast and pray for her dad. Her dad was a fine Christian man, but he smoked, and she just didn't want him smoking anymore, and he didn't need to be smoking. It was bad for the testimony, bad for his health. She prayed. She prayed for at least 2 years every day and every Thursday with fasting and prayer. Now, how do you believe she reacted when she got the news that her father had quit smoking? You think she said, well, ho-hum, that's done. I don't think so. You know exactly how she reacted. She had prayed long and hard for God to answer that prayer, and I'm telling you, man, she absolutely rejoiced. Absolutely rejoiced. There was a family, there was a grandmother in this family who was a sinner. She was on the outs with all the family members. There were just chaos in their relationships. And somebody in the family started praying for her. And I don't know how long they prayed, but they prayed for her for a long time. And when she was elderly and close to her death, she was in the hospital. And a minister went by her room and preached the gospel to her, and she got saved. And I mean, she didn't get saved just a little bit. She got saved, we say, all the way. By that I mean, she recognized after she got saved, she had some business in dealing with her family over the things that she had done to them and the chaos that she'd caused in their lives. And so, maybe a week after her salvation, she told the preacher that she wanted him to get in touch with her family members, gave him information on how to do it, and called them up to the hospital one by one so that she could apologize to them and reconcile with them and let them know that she had received Jesus Christ as her Savior. You know, I'm going to tell you something. You got to know the fullness of joy that family member experienced when God answered his prayer regarding his grandmother for all those years made up there at the end when she got saved and all the reconciliation with other family members. I'm going to tell you something. Full joy comes from answered prayer. All right, number two, 2 Corinthians 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. We've been on this passage many times before, but not exactly in the context which we will treat it today. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, watch it, abounded under the riches of their liberality. All right, let me give you a couple of cross-references here to this very, very sacrificial giving that you're seeing in Macedonia, okay? Because that's where full joy comes from. It comes from answered prayer. It also comes from sacrificial giving. They abounded in joy, and they abounded under the riches of their liberality at a time when they were in a great trial of affliction and deep poverty. You say, how in the world could they do that? Well, there are admonitions. There are verses that encourage you. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. There is that scattereth, and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 7 says, there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. All right, now, there is full joy in sacrificial giving. We see the admonitions in Proverbs. We see the joy that was experienced by the churches of Macedonia. And let me tell you something. If you have never experienced this full joy, then I'm going to say something. Give sacrificially and you will. Now, the Macedonian churches gave liberally during a trial, a great trial of affliction. They gave liberally during deep poverty. There are few people today in the United States that are experiencing a great trial of affliction. They may be underwater because of too much debt, or poor spending habits. And certainly there are people in our country that are experiencing poverty. Don't get me wrong. But, man, when you have traveled, like we've traveled doing work for the Lord and seen some things, we have seen some deep poverty. We've seen some pretty good trials of affliction. The Macedonian churches gave liberally during a great trial of affliction and during deep poverty. And there's only two reasons that they could have done that. The first would be because of the grace of God. We see that in verse 1, where the Lord says, "We do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." So the grace of God undoubtedly provided them with the ability, with the power to give this way. He says in verse 3, "To their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." That's the Lord. But I'll tell you another reason why they were able to do it, because of the abundance of their joy. In other words, what they were doing was giving them such great joy. You do things that make you happy. And that's what was happening to these churches. Now, let me just say this. You will never know this joy that comes from sacrificial giving until you give this way. Now, fortunately, when you hear our broadcast, we're not going to have a plea for your money at the end of it. We're not going to spend 5 or 10 minutes of this broadcast explaining to you how we're listener supported so that you give us some money, some of your money. I feel a greater liberty at being able to tell you to experience the joy of sacrificial giving because your money will be directed toward the Lord and where He directs you and not toward us. We're not after your money. We're you know what we're after? We're after you experiencing full joy according to the Scripture. Full joy comes from answered prayer, but you have to put more into it, see? Full joy comes from sacrificial giving, but you have to put more into it, you see? All right, I'll tell you somewhere else where full joy comes from. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Full joy comes from tried faith. Tried faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." And where does this come from? Where does this come from? Well, it comes from this trial of your faith. You see, if you haven't seen him, yet you're still believing, right? And your faith is tried. You know what it does? It just strengthens. If you don't crater, it just strengthens your faith and your anticipation in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, which increases your joy. Now, let's contrast something in Matthew chapter 13 with what we've just read here. In here, they're in heaviness, yet they're greatly rejoicing. Their faith is being tried, and yet even though they haven't seen Christ, we love him, and we're believing, and we're rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You say, how in the world is that possible? Well, let's do a contrast here, and then we'll talk about it. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Look at the contrast. Matthew chapter 13, we are dealing with the interpretation of the parable of the sower and the seed. And some seed falls on the stony ground. Well, in Matthew chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, we see what that is. "He that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word," watch it, "and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." Now, what's the problem here? This guy started experiencing some tribulation. He started experiencing some persecution, but he didn't increase in his joy up to a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. As a matter of fact, he ran because he was offended. So what happens is this. The folks on stony ground, they had an immediate joy when they received the word, but when they were tried and they were offended, that was the end of their joy. But in your case, listen, when your faith is tried, when your faith is tried and that trial of your faith only draws you closer to the Lord, not further away, your joy increases. It's like winning a hard-fought battle. That's what it's like. It's like winning a hard-fought battle. There's more joy in winning a hard-fought battle than there is in a rout. We have, there are tennis tournaments that go on throughout the year, majors, and in the Australian Open, a tennis player, a female, 34 years old, at the time, Lucic Baroni, had been playing professional tennis for 18 years, and made it all the way to the semifinals in that tournament, and on the day that she won the quarterfinal match to make it. She was absolutely in tears of joy. And apparently she had had hardship in her life, in her upbringing and in her life, and these left scars and heartache. But on that day, she said, this victory has made all of that okay. You know what she experienced? A greater joy in the victory of a hard fought battle than she has ever experienced under any other circumstance in her life. Now, I realize that's an athletic event, But the point is, she was tested, and she was tested in, 34 years old, where most tennis players are peaking in their 20s, okay, and came through. The point is, your faith is going to be tried, because your faith is more precious than gold, and it's going to be tried sometimes with fire, that it might be found under the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. When you go through that trial of your faith and you come out on the other side stronger than you went into that trial and closer to the Lord than you went into that trial, you come out with a stronger faith, more belief, more convinced of the Lord Jesus Christ and His return, and what? Greater joy. A joy, listen, that's so full, it's unspeakable. You can't find the words to describe it. Full joy comes from answered prayer. You've got to put more into it. Sacrificial giving, got to put more into it. Tried faith, got to put more into it. Where else does it come from? 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Full joy. Now, I'm talking about full joy. I mean, like a full tank of gas. It comes from personal fellowship. All right, 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. John says in his epistle, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Watch it, verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. You want full joy? Personal fellowship with Jesus Christ. You see, John wrote his epistle so that you and I could have personal fellowship with the Father and the Son. Listen, as Jesus Christ was manifested to John in life, we read that in verses 1 through 3 of 1 John, so the Lord will be manifested to us in His words. John saw Him. John handled Him. John heard Him. John declared Him unto us. We get into the words, and guess what? His life his eternal life is manifested to us in those words. When you have had good personal fellowship with the Lord in the Bible, you will have a joy that exceeds any joy you can experience from any other event or a relationship on this earth. And I'm talking about full joy. You say, well, I've thought about that. Listen, you get full joy from answered prayer, right? Well, put more into it, more joy. You get full joy from sacrificial giving, right? Okay. Put more into it, you get more joy. You get full joy from tried faith. Put more into it, more joy, right? Same thing. You get full joy from personal fellowship with Jesus Christ in your Bible. Put more into it, you get more joy. The people today they're lazy as it comes to Bible reading and trying to have fellowship with the Lord in the Bible. Listen, when you take that Bible and you read and the Lord is speaking to you, I mean, not audibly, but in those words, they're going in your eye, they're going in your ear, the Lord is making application in your life, and then you pray over those things, meditate over the things that you've read, and pray over the things that you've been praying for, I'm telling you, you start having a great time with the Lord. And then think of any other thing that you can do in the morning, okay, if that's your time, besides what you normally do in the morning. And, hey, you may like what you did, but you're not going to like it nearly as much as you're going to like that fellowship with the Lord. I guarantee you, it's something else. Personal fellowship with Jesus Christ. The man that trained me in the ministry said this: the hardest thing you're going to have to do is maintain your personal fellowship with Jesus Christ. Huh. Of all things. He said that's the hardest thing you're going to have to do, is maintain your personal fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'll tell you what, if you do what John said for us to do, you will have full joy. And when you start experiencing that kind of joy and that kind of fellowship, you know what you're going to do? You are going to seek that fellowship. That's just the way it is. All right, I'm going to give you one more thing. 3 John 4, the third epistle of John, verse 4. The third epistle of John, verse 4. A good report. That's where full joy comes from, a good report. John is writing to the well-beloved Gaius, and he says in verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, you can't control this. When your literal children and your spiritual children walk in truth, you will have full joy. Now, if your children are not walking in truth, then pray till they are walking in truth, even if they never do. Because the moment that you hear that they have repented and turned back to the truth, you will have such full joy that you will then know personally what the prodigal son's father felt when his son came home. So we have two things here. You know, you and I are to train up our children, right, in the way that they should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. Well, some do. Well, you put a good foundation in there, and they turn, and they go off on their own in a direction contrary to the direction of the Lord. You start praying, and you pray, and you pray, and you pray. You might die before your children turn back, and they may never turn back. But then again, they may. And so it's a good report. John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Whew. If there's no greater joy than that, and John's said it, I'll tell you what, then the thing to do is just put all you can into them while you got them, and then pray like crazy for them to stay with it and turn back to it if they stray. Now, he's talking about spiritual children in 3 John 4, because Gaius, he's talking, my beloved, and he's talking about the testimony that others have said of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. You know what? You have spiritual children. If you have led people to the Lord Jesus Christ and you have put some time into discipling them where they can grow, then you've got an investment. You've got a child, you see, in the Lord. And when you find out that your children are walking in truth, I'm going to tell you what, there really is no greater joy. When they stray, there's hardly any greater heartache. And when they come back, there's no greater joy. I'm just telling you, if you want fullness of joy, Be careful to talk to others about the Lord Jesus Christ that they might be saved, and then give them great care to help them walk in truth so that when they do, you will experience great joy, and they, of course, great joy in being in the truth. So, since we have full joy when our prayers are answered, when we give sacrificially, when our faith is tried and we come forth, when we have personal fellowship with the Lord and the Word, when we receive the good report that our children are walking in truth, we should strive to maintain these things in our lives and to have full joy. Listen, if you don't have full joy, check these things. How's your prayer life? You say, well, I've slacked off on it. It'll affect your joy. Check these things. You know what? I'm not giving like I used to. I've slacked off on that. Got a little bit scared about the economy, blah, 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 and I backed off on that. Decided I wanted something, and I bought it. Now I'm in debt, and I'm having to pay on that, so I'm not giving as much to the Lord. Check that. That may be right there. That may be the source of what happened to your joy. Get back up there. Sacrificial giving. You say, you know what, I got offended over something somebody did, something somebody said, and it offended me, and my faith is not as strong now as it was. All right, there's your problem right there. Your faith was tested, and you went the other direction. So what you want to do is you want to back off on that thing and get back into the strength of that faith, see? Amen. And then survive that next trial, and you come out of there just, I mean, absolutely rejoicing. Say, man, my joy is not what it used to be. How's your Bible reading going? And I'm not just talking about checking off the box. I mean really getting in there and have some fellowship with the Lord. Say, oh, man, I hadn't done that in a while. Well, there you go. There's the problem right there. Get into that book. Get back in that book and find Jesus Christ in there and have some fellowship with him. Your joy will increase. You say, well, I kind of slacked on my joy there. Well, but I'm doing these other four things. Have you talked to somebody else about Jesus Christ? Have you made an effort to help them walk in truth? I mean, you help somebody come to Jesus Christ and get going in the right direction, I'll tell you what, it will increase your joy until your joy will be full. I really encourage you in these five things. I really pray what you've heard today will be a great blessing to you as your joy increases in these matters before the Lord Jesus Christ, to pray for you to really have full joy. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.